You're listening to the Common Thread podcast by the Howard Thurman Center. I'm Stephen Gelman.
And I'm Isabella Georges.
And over the past few weeks, we wanted to find out about student activism on campus and how different student groups are preparing for the 2020 election. Isabella, why did you want to find out about student elections?
Well, in high school, I really wasn't as involved in my community as I wanted to be. So now that I'm studying international relations, it's something that I really want to delve into and investigate. What about you?
All right. I think I was interested in this topic because there's a lot of misconceptions out there about student activism. And I just kind of wanted to get some different perspectives on what student activism is actually like here at BU.
Okay.
We first sat down with Professor Sapiro, the former dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and the current chair of the Political Science Department.
I'm Professor Virginia Sapiro. I am a political scientist, and I have a joint appointment in the Department of Political Science and the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies program. I'm a specialist in political participation, political psychology, gender and politics, elections, public opinion, and a lot of other stuff. I got my PhD at the University of Michigan. I spent 31 years on the faculty of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I held a distinguished chair and eventually moved into the provost's office, became interim provost for a while, and then I came here to Boston University in 2007 to be dean of the College and Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. And in 2015, I stepped back from that and went back to full-time faculty work, teaching courses, mostly undergraduate courses, on gender and politics, feminist theory, elections, political psychology, that sort of thing.
You've been here at Boston University for a bit over 12 years now. So what would you say is the general level of student engagement that you see here on campus?
The vast majority of my students are now and always have been extremely engaged. But if I taught a different subject, then it's likely that most of my students wouldn't necessarily be engaged or, like most young people, only get active in presidential election years. But I can tell you that what research shows is that young people are, by and large, not as active in conventional politics, like voting, campaigning, and all of that, as older people. That always was true, and it will still be true now. Young people are not well integrated into the political system yet, so they will get active during presidential election years, less in congressional election years, less in local election years, and not very much at other times. Although at the same time, lots and lots of students are involved in political organizations of other types, social movement organizations, organizations to help in the community, specific issue organizations.
Why do you think there's such like a lack of participation among like the college age group? Is it just like a lack of interest or?
Political participation is a habit. There are a couple of things. One is political participation is a habit, and it takes time to do that. A second thing is the biggest predictor of whether someone will get active in politics is if somebody asks them very specifically, will you come with me and do this? Will you do this activity? And if your age cohort is not yet well plugged in, then there are people to ask you to come to various events, but not necessarily conventional politics. The other thing is that politics, action in politics, is driven very much by people who are very engaged in their communities. They pay taxes, they live in neighborhoods with a range of different people. They may have children in schools, they have jobs where their particular sector is affected by the economy. And that is less apparently true to students, who are generally living in a student area. Their students, often far away from home, still partly dependent on their parents often. So there's very little that tends to plug young people directly into politics, like elections and that kind of thing, unless their parents were very active. And students whose parents were active tend themselves to be very active. But as I say, that has to do with elections and so forth. And we've found, you know, forever, that if you look at age comparisons back to when I was young decades ago, now in this case, you always find the 18 to 30 group is the least active, the least likely to turn out, you know, and then as you get older, you get more involved in the system. So it's not about a generation. Mm-hmm. It's about the life course of becoming really a full citizen and committed to the political community.
So do you think there's a way to encourage college students to get out and vote, or is it just something that is a systematic thing?
Well, to get what we do, we encourage, I mean, this is what you see when we encourage students to vote.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of things that young people do themselves, that older people do, going back to Rock the Vote that was, you know, started in, what, the 1980s, to try to encourage young people. We do a lot of things on campus. Increasingly, the candidates do things that are focused. You know, the most successful of this we saw was in the primary season in 2016, where Bernie Sanders... His major base was people who were not very closely associated with the Democrats, and the vast majority of the people who supported him were people who had not been really very active before. He was really able to bring young people in. One of the major techniques is he got a lot of groups active on campus who then got everybody else very active to come to the rallies and so forth. So it became kind of like a student group on campus where that was a thing to do. And since most of the people who were most enthusiastic about him on campus, this was really the first exciting thing they had ever seen in politics and hadn't themselves been active before, you know, that got people very, very involved.
So do you think student groups like that, that can encourage political participation?
Always have, yeah. You know, it just depends on how much it catches fire and what is the particular draw. The two parties, but most particularly the Democratic Party, has a major interest in drawing out young people. The Republican Party doesn't have much interest in doing that, because if you look at public opinion differences by age and by generation, today's young people are, this group tends to veer a bit left. It is a group that has grown up experiencing a multiracial, multicultural America. This generation has grown up finding, not everybody, of course, you can't generalize about everybody, but this generation has grown up in a time there's gay marriage and where people aren't as afraid of homosexuals as, you know, in the older generations. And so this generation has grown up in a particular time where a lot of what the policies of the Republican Party are just out of touch with them. So the Democrats, in particular, have a real interest in trying to stoke up interest among young people, because young people will tend more toward the Democratic Party than Republican. That's not always true. In the Reagan era in the early 1980s, young people got very excited about Morning in America and Ronald Reagan. It's really, young folks are entering into a particular universe and are very influenced by the world as it exists when they're young. Same true of my generation, the late 1960s. So those of us who were students in the late 1960s and the anti-war period and all of that remain very marked by that period, much as the Obama post-Obama generations are very marked by that.
Professor Shapiro also specializes in gender politics and women's studies, so we asked her how and to what extent women play a role in politics.
So women for a long time have been just as active in politics as men, so... you know, the question is, are they not just more active than men, but are they going to be much, much more active? Well, again, that depends on which side of the spectrum you're on. It's clear that the Trump election stirred up, and at the same time as the Me Too organizations, it stirred up a lot of anger and frustration, which is really good for activism among women. And that doesn't seem to have subsided, where, you know, women of a certain kind of view are frightened, angry, frustrated, that people who condone sexism, harassment, rape, and so on and so forth are in leadership. And so women who don't like that are pretty likely to be active.
A while ago in 2016 on Wisconsin Public Radio, you said that we have more capability of being uncivil to each other. You've also written about that on your blog in 2018. How do you think students can be civil to each other when they talk about politics on campus, or how does that apply?
It seems to be hard for everybody to be civil, because a lack of civility, you have to be very strong to confront a lack of civility with civility. If you're angry, if you have strong passions, being civil doesn't mean you don't have strong passions and anger, but how do you communicate in a way that is intended to be sharp and effective while not just attacking people, because that won't do anything. So I don't think there's much difference between how young people can think about their communication and other people can too. I think people who are more experienced and older have more time of experiencing what the impact of individual communication is out there. I think people who have spent time taking care of children have spent a lot of time thinking about what we want, because, you know, when you're not just free to say anything. And at the same time, I think there's no difference between young people wanting to have a world where they can make real change and older people wanting more change. I mean, if anything, younger people have more investment in making the world different, because it will be your world, and people like me won't be around a whole long time. And what that takes is conversations about how to communicate in a way that can make a difference. There's a difference between just expressing yourself, which I think probably most of us, when we were young, a lot of it was about, you know, I want you to hear my voice, I want to express myself. And then you get over that a little, and ask not just how do I express myself, but how do I make a difference? How do I have an impact?
And finishing up our conversation with Professor Sapiro, she gave us a sort of call to action.
It's time to be active now. It's not, I mean, if you wait until the election, it's over. So what I see is lots of students already becoming involved in various interest groups and social movements that are putting pressure on the political system toward the issues that they want. I mean, for example, students involved in whatever, the Green New Deal, or Me Too, or, you know, any of a variety of other things. What that does is create an environment in which the candidates have to consider whether they're going to respond to those political pressures. Massachusetts is right near New Hampshire. That's the first primary. It is, at the moment, scheduled for February 11th. I live in New Hampshire. New Hampshire is filled with people already active, because if people don't get active now on behalf of their candidates, they're just leaving it to other people. So it's not preparing for 2020. It's if you care about things in the world that can be affected by politics, it's time to get active now, whether in the election or in some other group, or on campus, or off campus, or anywhere else. It's time, now.
To learn more about Professor Sapiro's work, you can find her webpage and blog by following the links at www.bu.edu/poli-sci/people/faculty/Virginia Sapiro. We also met with representatives from a number of student groups, including the College Democrats, the College Republicans, and BU for Warren. And we did this to gauge the importance of political discourse among young people and to learn about their past and present projects. Today we're here with Ben Levy, the secretary of the BU College Democrats.
So Ben, can you explain your role and introduce yourself to us?
Sure. Hi, I'm Ben Levy. I'm entering my third term as secretary of the BU College Democrats. I'm a senior studying political science and minoring in English literature. I've been in this role for about, this is my third year in this role. My job is to help manage the communication aspect of the organization by communicating with other student groups on campus and with the many organizations in the city of Boston and in Massachusetts. I help speak to students who are interested in getting involved with our organization, help with outreach and recruitment, and things like that.
How did you become involved with the College Democrats?
Well, before I came to BU, I was a fellow for the Hillary Clinton campaign back in South Jersey, where I'm from, and I was a January Boston London student, so I came in January, and I wanted to get more involved in student activism and democratic politics, so I found this organization and thought it was a really great way to get involved and meet other people who were as interested about this stuff as I was, and I've been involved with it ever since. I still love being with these people, these great student active student students, and I had a really great time doing this whole thing for about 3 years so far.
So, touching on your student activism, what's a common misconception that you've heard about political activism on campus?
A lot of the times that we hear that we often live in a bubble, and that people who are active in student activism on college campuses are often just kind of repeating the same thing over and over again, not really spreading enough diversity of opinion. We try to get involved with meeting with other groups who disagree with us, and we often collaborate with the College Republicans, and we try to compromise in creating events that we can work together in, so we can show other students on campus that not everything is so polarized, that we can work together. And it's often very successful and very popular, our events with the College Republicans. So we try to disprove the idea that we are just all a bunch of crazy far left liberals, which we are all not. But we are trying to show that we can work together with other people, and it's showing to be very successful.
So we've noticed that you've talked with the BU College Republicans in the forum that you hosted, mm-hmm. a fiscal policy forum, mm-hmm. in October 2018. Are there any other ways that you've collaborated with them, or can you elaborate on what you have done with them already?
So far, well, we're trying to do more things with them this year, and we're still in talks and trying to figure out what exactly that would be. That debate event was incredibly popular. That filled up the entire room. We have done sort of charitable events together. We did a Mario Kart tournament together where we competed with the College Republicans. That was for charity, so those who would come would pay about $5 or whatever it was, and the money would go to our respective charities, the charities that we donate to sort of escape me at the moment, but that's sort of what we do. We're trying to do more of it. It's been sort of just once a semester kind of thing at the moment, but those are the two events we've done so far as of like last year.
Are you guys working on anything for the 2020 election?
Well, there's a lot of stuff we're working on. So there's a lot of campaigns that have reached out to us who want to get more BU students involved in the 2020 election. Right now, what we're thinking about is as we get closer to the Massachusetts primary in March, I'm sure I will, and many more people in the e-board in my group will probably get emails about local canvassing events, local phone banking, whatever is given to us, we'll probably find a way to get people in our organization to participate. I think it's incredibly important to get involved in campaign work. That's how I got started in working in politics, and I love the experience of working in the field. So it's, whatever organization or student or a campaign reaches out to us, I'm sure we'll find a way to get more students to participate as we get closer to March of next year.
All right. And so college students have historically had low voter turnout, mm-hmm. Than other voter demographics. So we were wondering what the BU Dems have been doing to encourage voting on campus.
Well, we've been hosting a lot of voter registration drives. We've been trying to emphasize that voting in presidential elections is incredibly important, but it's not only that, but it's voting in local politics, because that does have an actual impact in your community. What we've been trying to do is every Thursday, what we usually do is in our meetings, is host meetings and discussions about topics that are currently happening in the country today. So we recently just had one about impeachment. We had one last week or a few weeks ago about climate change. We're trying to show students that these issues are incredibly important, and the only way for you to actually make a change, or at least one of the more significant ways that you can do to make a change, is to go out there and vote, and vote for people that believe in the issues that you really believe in. And by doing so, you will help instigate change that will have a longer lasting impact. So hopefully that message resonates more with our student group. And so far we've had a lot of people, I noticed every year, who get more and more active in politics and more active in voting and getting involved in the political process.
And for our listeners who are more interested in getting involved in political activism, can you point them in any direction? Where can they go to find out more about how they can get involved?
We have our meetings in College of Arts and Sciences in 213 every Thursday from 7 to 8. You can come there and you can speak to any of us. We have many, many internship opportunities within the city of Boston and in Massachusetts, many campaigns we can get involved in. And if not that, there are many ways to volunteer for presidential campaigns or local campaigns by phone banking or canvassing, and there are many more events you could possibly attend for. So there's a lot of stuff that can probably get that you can get involved in, and it is really a worthwhile experience. I couldn't wish for anything more in the world.
We also asked Ben about what he knew about absentee ballots and the voting process for out-of-state students. If you're out of state and can't vote, then this is very important if you want to become involved in the political process.
Sure. So I am also out of state. I'm from New Jersey. I go to school in Massachusetts. There are a few things you can do to get to vote if you are not a resident of Massachusetts. Vote by mail is usually the more popular thing for students who do not live in Massachusetts, who are not registered in Massachusetts. If you were to call, from my personal experience, this could be different from anybody else in on campus. Personally, I've called my county clerk's office. They're able to send me information about how to appropriately register to vote via mail. And by calling them, they give us the mail-in supplies for me to sign off on. And when that usually happens, it becomes a more consistent thing. You don't always have to go to the polls physically to go vote. You can just write in who you want to vote for on a mail-in ballot, mail it in. It's as easy as that. It happens usually every year when there is an election happening. So I actually just did mine a few weeks ago for a local election happening in my hometown. So that usually does happen when you're calling your county clerk's office or some other local organization that does handle the voting infrastructure of the town or city that you live in.
If you do want to vote, just make sure you research your town's requirements.
Research your town's requirements, research your county clerk's office, research the candidates that are running, of course, in your local elections, because that, even for the very more local, like Board of Education elections, which are very important to me, your mayor's race, all that, finding out who's running, and also just, how appropriately to mail in the information, your voting choice. That's usually, done by looking things online and looking at, your local town and things like that. That personally, that's how I did it.
Next up, we have our interview with Jack Moriarty, the president of the College Republicans. We see similar themes about collaboration and open discussions across parties.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for speaking with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So first, could you explain your role with the BU Republicans, what you do, and just introduce yourself? Who are you?
Sure. I'm Jack Moriarty. I'm a senior in the College of Communications. I'm originally from West Palm Beach, Florida, and I am the president for the 2019-2020 year of the Boston University College Republicans.
So how'd you get involved with the College Republicans?
I got involved my freshman year. Coming from high school, I've always grown up relatively conservative, and so knowing that I was coming to the city of Boston, I wanted to try to find a community that felt a little more like home coming from Florida. So I got involved with the College Republicans my freshman year, did a little work with them, and then at the end of the year I was offered the position of Deputy Communications Director, and then I've been on e-board since sophomore year, moving up and trying different positions, and then senior year I was appointed president.
Cool. In what ways have the BU Republicans been encouraging student activism on campus?
One thing we always make clear at all our meetings is register to vote. We bring it up a couple times a year. It's the biggest thing you can do for political activism. Some other things we've been doing is we try to get involved with local campaigns. 2018, we did a lot for the Charlie Baker campaign here in Massachusetts, getting Charlie Baker reelected as the governor, which is a candidate we all really stand behind because we feel like he's a very middle-of-the-road, like, considerate conservative. And so it was really excited to get involved in his campaign and get in support of the Boston conservative community. And then this year, we've been supporting a Boston City Councilwoman, Jen Nasser, for her city council run. She's also a very middle-of-the-line conservative, Massachusetts conservative. So we've been getting out and doing some door knocking and some phone calls for her and trying to support anyone who can vote here to get involved politically.
So you were talking about registering college students to vote. So college students are historically known to be the least likely to turn out to vote. So what have you guys been doing to encourage that?
So we're definitely trying to stress the importance of just having your voice heard, no matter what that voice is. It's just, you know, if you want change, the way we do it in the democracy, we have to elect the leaders we want. So voting is such an important part. The most we've been doing, we've been setting up, we've been helping people register to vote. At all our meetings, we encourage it. We list off the different ways you can become registered and the different ways you can vote. If you're not registered and you just want to register in Massachusetts, or we'll get you set up with your absentee ballot and how you can get that sent up here to Boston so you can vote back in your home district. We've really just been encouraging all the different ways to get involved, whether that be here in Massachusetts or back home.
And do you think the main reason why students don't vote is because they don't have the resources or they don't know how the process works?
I think that's a lot of it, yeah. It's a semi-difficult process, especially far from home. It's a little bit easier if you can just go to a polling spot, but if you have to sign up for an absentee ballot and get it shipped to your ever-changing Boston address, you know, you live in a different spot on campus every year, so it can be a hassle sometimes. And so just trying to provide the information and streamlining it for people who are interested, I feel, is one of the biggest things we can do.
Have you ever worked with the BU Democrats on anything? I know you've hosted forums with them. Like last year you did a fiscal policy debate. Is there anything else that you've done with them?
Yeah, so we have a couple events coming up. We're doing a international relations debate with BU's International Affairs Association. That's coming up in November, and so that'll be another forum, less of a debate, more of a forum, talking about with some of our more IR-focused members about international relations and the United States. And the main thing we do with the College Democrats is, you know, we usually have more in common than we think. So creating discussion and just talking and finding where those lines intersect and where those lines don't intersect and how close we can get, what we can agree on, what we disagree on, and why. You know, it helps just bring us all closer together and make the other side a little more human.
Does your club have any specific plans for 2020?
Any specific plans right now? Besides just getting involved, helping people register to vote, informing them about candidates is a big one. We're going to make sure that, you know, that's something we really like to do. If anyone has any congressional people or senators running, we want to inform them about positions and just so they can have the best knowledge. Because sometimes, you know, in general context, the media likes to do big talking points. And if you look a little past the big talking points, you can find some deeper nuances that can really help inform your vote. So our plan right now is just to get people informed, help them, and we'll see what happens in the Boston conservative community if there become events for door knocking or phone calls. We always present our internships, we present those opportunities to our members. And if they want to get involved on a deeper level, we absolutely encourage and help with that.
And also kind of going off that, do you think there's any common misconceptions among students about political activism on campus? Maybe people who are hesitant to get involved or?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time it sometimes gets construed as a very like political science focused thing, or it makes it, you know, if you join one of these clubs, it automatically makes you crazy to whatever side that is, you know. But, you know, any way you can support, just political activism is so important, you know, getting your voice heard. So even if you're a very moderate, tentative Democrat, or a very moderate, tentative Republican, or maybe you're just undecided on either side, going to these meetings and just learning more, hearing about, like, the different sides, that's what matters, getting informed. Like, I'm not a political science major, and that's something I would never want to do, go into government or politics, but I know that, you know, voting matters, and getting your voice out matters, and this is something I care about, so that's why I'm in the club.
And if people are interested in learning more about the BU College Republicans or anything else about political activism, where can they go?
Oh, for sure. The Boston University College Republicans Facebook page always has links to our events and tells you meeting times, post internship opportunities if you're interested in working with Mass GOP, Governor Baker's campaign, or any other local campaigns going on. And we always welcome anyone, regardless of political affiliation, to come to the meetings, hear what people have to say. Always happy to have some friendly discourse. So anyone who's interested, we really recommend just stopping by, hearing what people have to say. It really humanizes the other side. We regularly attend the Democrat meetings just to hear what they have to say, and it's much more humanizing than you would think.
Great. Thanks so much for talking with us, Jack.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Again, I think it's important to touch upon what he said about humanization. So really, sometimes political parties can go at each other's throats in some ways, but at least here at Boston University, that doesn't seem to be the case with the College Democrats and the College Republicans. Our last interview was with Sophie Ehrlich from BU for Warren.
Sophie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners? Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Sophie. I'm the co-president of BU for Warren. I'm a junior here originally from Maryland, studying social studies education and political science.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about BU for Warren? How did it come to be?
So I was a fellow on the campaign this past summer in Nashua, New Hampshire, which was so much fun. Highly recommend going down to New Hampshire, or up to New Hampshire, just to get a sense of what's going on there. And I just had so much fun this summer, and I wanted to be able to continue it on the ground. And, you know, they were starting a field program and starting in Massachusetts and gearing up for getting students involved on campuses. So I went ahead and signed up for the Campus Leader Program. And then I DM'd Paulina, who's my co-president. She had a Twitter page already running for BU for Warren, and I was like, who's running this account? Like, I only know myself and one other girl from BU that was working for the Warren campaign, and it worked out super well, and we decided to team up and start the chapter here.
All right, so the group is, like, affiliated with campus?
So Well, we're not an official BU club yet. We're working on that, but we're affiliated with the campaign, kind of. So we work alongside them, but we're not directly, like, influenced. Like, we get to decide what events we do and how we go about things on campus, but we do have some leadership from them and some guidance.
So what have you guys been up to since?
So our first event was a debate watch party, which we're having another this Tuesday, which is very exciting. And that got, you know, we had a ton of people show up, which was awesome. And since then, we, you know, went to the climate march. We took a group. We've been up to New Hampshire to canvass. We went up to the, like, Windham Pelham area and did a canvass up in Salem. We've been clipboarding right outside Marsh Plaza. We'll be doing that again coming up soon, just trying to get students, you know, interested in Elizabeth, see if they've heard her message, how they're feeling.
All right. So college students are notorious for being one of the lowest, like, demographics for voter turnout.
Yeah.
Have you been doing anything to encourage voting on campus?
So we've definitely been considering doing, you know, a voter registration drive. It is a little challenging at BU because everyone's from different states. But the conversations I've had, I think BU is pretty politically active. People are very engaged, and you know, we've had some, like, really warm reception. Everyone's very excited about Elizabeth, at least. And I think this election, you know, because so many students on campus are, you know, very troubled by the current situation in the White House, I do think mobilization will be up. And, you know, it's definitely been really cool seeing just the climate march, you know, going on just down the street, and all the BU students that I saw there just walking around that I recognize. So I do think there's an increase this year.
Are there any misconceptions that you've heard about political activism on campus?
I've not necessarily on campus, besides the fact that like students are just like don't care. Is always, I think, the going into it, people are like, oh, college students, like, you know, they're interested, but they just don't go out to vote. And at least the work that I did last semester on like Jay Gonzalez's gubernatorial campaign, like, I just wasn't finding that was the case. I talked to my friends and everyone was voting and, you know, ordering their registration form, or not their registration forms, but their absentee ballots. So I do feel like that is such a misconception. No, like, people are really excited, and, you know, the people I talk to want to get involved in the campaign and are interested in how to go about that.
I mean, there might be a few people who are just silent about not voting or not being politically active.
For
Why
sure.
do you think that is?
I think there's a lot of polarization in, you know, politics today. And I do think some people try to stay quiet because they're a little bit scared about sharing, you know, their concerns or getting involved. It does seem kind of daunting. But I do think that, you know, there are ways to kind of encourage those people to come out and participate as well.
And just to wrap up, I had one more conversation with Steven about the patterns we noticed across our interviews.
You know, I think... What do I think? What are patterns that I've noticed?
Touching upon what you said about misconceptions, I think a lot of what we heard was that they're really open to talking to each other despite being from different political parties. And that ties in a lot to what Professor Shapiro said about stability.
Yeah, definitely. Just based on the conversations with the College Dems and the College Republicans, I think they're both very open just to the idea of creating a dialogue. And that was definitely really, really present in our interviews.
Okay, and I really look forward to seeing how they'll collaborate in the future,
mm-hmm.
just not for elections, but for any other purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. An important takeaway is that activism shouldn't be isolated to election years. So if you're passionate about a cause or movement, it's a good idea to look at local groups and resources. We actually have a lot of these sorts of groups on campus. So you shouldn't be afraid to respectfully voice your opinion or join one of these groups. Lastly, if you plan to vote, be sure to research all the candidates and your state's absentee voting process well in advance, as most of them have very early deadlines.
We'd like to thank everyone who participated in this episode of our podcast, including Professor Shapiro, Benjamin Levy from the College Democrats, Jack Moriarty from the College Republicans, and Sophie Ehrlich from BU for Warren.
I'm Isabella Georges.
And I'm Stephen Gelman. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Common Thread Podcast.